This time on Hyperspace Broadcasts, Michael and Peter begin their titanic struggle against the endless series known as Dragon Ball Z. Hey everybody, welcome once again to Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program before watching it and trying to determine if it's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're talking about Dragon Ball Z episodes 1 through 10, embarking on the first leg of what will eventually be a 30-part series, but don't worry, we're not doing it all at once.
Yeah. There'll be other shows in between. Several entire shows.
Yeah, I don't think I could really just watch Dragon Ball Z for, a little over half of a year straight?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh my god.
You pretty much did it as a kid, except they separated it some more, but...
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true, Well, Dragon Ball Z, obviously, I don't know if it needs introduction, but in case it does, it's the story of a dude named Goku who is super strong, and he has a bunch of friends. They basically go around collecting Dragon Balls, which are magical orbs, of which there are seven, and you get them all together, you can grant a wish. And Dragon Ball Z kind of foregoes the Dragon Balls for the most part, except as a plot device. And it's a lot more fighting.
Yeah.
It's like the classic action anime.
Crazy fighting, very, very long scenes of people charging up powerful laser attacks by grunting very long periods of time or just going...
Or screaming.
Like, seriously, an entire... whole episodes devoted to just someone charging one attack. No joke. Sometimes the slowest paced show you've ever seen.
Yeah, some like real serious filler. But also like, I don't know. I mean, this was like a staple of my childhood.
Absolutely.
It's the show that got me watching Toonami in the first place. I'm really jacked to watch it, actually. That's probably not coming through my voice, but that's because I don't know, I'm a fundamentally sad person.
I'm really jacked to watch it. Like, I don't know how you want to sound, but yeah.
Man, I can't wait for this. Yeah.
Pod racing.
Yeah, now this is podcasting, so I hate myself for saying that.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Yeah,
well, this is unique, too, because this is like the first show... Probably the first show that we've ever watched where both of us were really into it as kids. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I liked Gundam a little bit, but Doak was really into Wing. I never really saw it, you know. Mm.
And neither of us saw Ronin Warriors or Robotech when it was on Toonami.
We both kind of saw Tenchi, but it wasn't like re-aired that much.
Yeah, and it wasn't something that... I mean, Dragon Ball Z, like, my recollection, Dragon Ball Z was Toonami.
It was,
They
absolutely.
Played it constantly. It was always running, like, they had... I mean, you know, I'm talking out of my ass a little bit, but I seem to remember, like, when new episodes of Dragon Ball Z were going to start airing, it was, like, the biggest deal ever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, coincide it with the total immersion events and like the big Toonami events to get people on.
Right, right, right.
It was like their biggest ratings poll, and basically how they would do it is they would show, because Dragon Ball Z is like a pretty huge series, and so they would show what they call a saga of it, so it's a whole big arc basically, which could take up to like 30 to 50 episodes.
Yeah, yeah, roughly.
And it's kind of difficult to divide what are certain arcs, but broadly you can do it. And they would just show that and then repeat it over and over again. So we got to see, like, through the Raditz saga and Vegeta. So, like, these
well,
these
there's
two big
like
villains.
The. Yeah, the Saiyan saga, and then, like, the Namek saga.
Yeah, yeah, and that's with, like, Frieza and the Ginyu Force and stuff like that. But so they'd show well, the first Frieza one. Frieza is
his
while.
Own saga, because there's, like, okay. 60 goddamn episodes of fighting Frieza.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. You just get bogged down and you try and really define it like that. But it's, like, broadly, okay, where they go to Namek and fight Frieza, personally, I consider one giant thing, but I'm probably gonna realize that that's a lot.
No, yeah, that's a ton of episodes. But, I mean, basically, like, Dragon Ball Z was a fundamental force in my childhood, and from Mine my understanding, well. Yours as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I want to talk a little bit, like, this is a weird thing to bring up, maybe, but I want to talk about action figures.
See,
which is to say that the Dragon Ball Z action figures were fucking garbage.
See, I never really had them. I don't think I ever seen them at stores for sale, really.
Yeah, I got, like, I want to say 2 or 3. Ginyu, for some reason. Piccolo, because he was my favorite. And then Frieza, because he was my favorite once he was introduced.
Of course.
Yeah, right. The villains, man. Yeah. And it was like fourth form Frieza. You know what? I might have had a first form Frieza too. But the point is,
you didn't get that whack looking fucking Xenomorph Frieza.
Yeah, third form, which he's in for like an episode. Yeah. No, like the action figures were so crappy because, and of course, you know, after Dragon Ball Z came Gundam, and Gundam is a series built on the back of merchandising, and their action figures are really good as far as action figures go. Like, they're extremely articulated.
Yeah. When I got into Gundam, I collected those figures. I never saw Dragon Ball Z figures for sale.
But the Dragon Ball Z figures had, like, I swear the Frieza action figure I had 3 points of articulation. Actually, 4 points of articulation. The waist could rotate. The arms could move up and down, like, on the shoulders, but, like, nothing on the elbows or anything.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Just, like, they could do, like, a rave, like, just raising their hands awkwardly in the air in a way no person would ever do. Exactly.
And then I believe the tail was also on, like, a pivot, so it could, like, swing around.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. Like, the Ginyu one was in, like, you know, this crazy, like, Ginyu Force pose. And I'm pretty sure the only articulation was, like, that the legs and arms could swivel. And it was just, oh, my God, it was so bad. Like,
yeah,
even the Kenner Star Wars action figures, and not, like, the old ones, but the, like, I guess the ones that were coming out in the 90s that were just designed to fit into vehicles. So all they had was, like, waist, legs, arms, and head. That was better.
Uh-huh.
And that was nothing.
Yeah, I remember how cheap action figures would work, where it's like, yeah, it's on a swivel, but it's like, there's one pose, literally one pose that looks, like, natural.
Yeah, and then it's like, right,
you can change them,
into.
But they just, like, they look completely idiotic or broken.
Yeah, right.
Remember my brother had, my brother did have one Dragon Ball Z toy later on. And it was Future Trunks with the sword. And right. I thought that was pretty cool, but it was kind of like the old thing where it's like, he bought a toy, I can't get one.
Yeah.
The weird relationship with my brother.
And the classic.
So, but I would play with it, and, like, I do remember the sword basically just being, like, one of those plastic toothpicks. Like, it is so weak and, like, bendable and very easily breakable, which I thankfully didn't do. Yeah, not great. So, what are your, like, first memories with Dragon Ball Z?
Because
I find it difficult to exactly pinpoint where I started. I feel like I started when it started airing on Toonami, because that was the time in my life where I was just glued to the television. It's either Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon. I watch whatever the hell is on, and when Dragon Ball Z comes
on... But not Disney Channel.
Like, it just became a ritual in my life, like, get home, do my homework, Dragon Ball Z's at 5.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
That's my life.
Which is weird, because here's the thing, like, I seem to remember as a kid, like, watching Bill Nye once I got home from school most of the time. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, oh, Dragon Ball Z now. And I don't
Fuck
know.
Fuck science.
yeah, exactly. I want to watch dudes punching each other. Like, I don't honestly know how that was even triggered. Like, honestly, it was probably just that, you know, I was watching Cartoon Network one day, like Dexter's Lab or some shit, and there was a promo for Toonami and Dragon Ball Z, and I was like, that looks like the coolest thing that could ever happen. Like,
and again, you can't fucking beat those Toonami promos.
Yeah, they're right, killer. Exactly. Like, they're intense as hell. And the thing is, too, like, Dragon Ball Z almost... Well, no, it was. It was designed to appeal to 12-year-old boys. Like, it's just the exact, like, thing that I wanted to see at that age, which is just fighting and no blood, really, but, like, scratches on people.
Yeah, they cut out some of the blood, and it ultimately isn't a very bloody show. It's also fairly lighthearted when it's not in combat, but, like, the villains can be really evil and really change the mood. But it's not... I wouldn't call it, by any means, a dark show.
Right, okay. I'm going to have to disagree with you on tone, frankly. It is a lighthearted show, but, frankly, when was the last time you actually watched, like, the Saiyan and Frieza stuff? Because that stuff is it takes itself pretty seriously.
I guess. I mean,
well, okay, compared to the whole Boo stuff where he's turning people into chocolate, like, that's very jokey. Like, Frieza's blowing up planets, and it is fairly bloody. The dude gets cut in half. Like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true.
Like, shit, and to be honest, like, most of my recollection of this show is from the manga, so it was probably cleaned up on Toonami, but, like, geez, there's a point in the Saiyan arc where Vegeta's, like, the giant ape, and he's just crushing Goku's bones in his fist, like...
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
Like, this... I think you're going to be surprised, because I remember the tone being very serious until Boo... Basically,
it's a weird tone, okay? Like, because it does have goofy, lighthearted moments. I would never call it a dark show, though. Like, it can get dark. Overall, it is definitely not. Maybe I'm letting Dragon Ball Super bleed in a little too much.
Yeah,
that shows a
like...
bit more lighthearted constantly, but we'll see. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I remember it being pretty serious, though.
It's a jokey universe that the whole thing is set in.
Yeah, that is true.
Like hell, or if in the Toonami dub, Home for Infinite Losers.
Yeah, that's true. Does has the demons walking around in shirts that say hell or the censored HFIL? Good censoring.
Yeah, that's so good. But
yeah, that is true. Like, the universe is really weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, well, we'll see, I guess.
A lot of that's on loan from Dragon Ball, though, too, which is like most like a comedy adventure manga. Like,
yeah, up until the last arc with Piccolo, basically, where it gets pretty dark. I mean, really, I don't know. I'm excited to watch this. It's been a while since I've seen like this part of the show, especially because I remember we watched the Boo stuff like a few years ago, or at least the ending. And then obviously we've been watching Dragon Ball Super, which is a way goofier show, at least from my recollection.
Super is the modern sequel show, just to clarify.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, which came out probably like 20 years later.
Yeah, it came out quite a bit later. But Dragon Ball Z, like early Dragon Ball Z, is still totally a thing that I watched when I was a kid, and I haven't seen it since. And that's the other thing that's interesting about it, as opposed to like Gundam Wing, because I did rewatch Gundam Wing somewhat recently. I haven't watched this since I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's, and man, I did, because I did end up getting, like, a cheap deal on the Frieza Saga DVDs, like, 5 years ago, so I watched a little bit then, and this is before the re-edited Dragon Ball Z Kai, which is not edited, like, censored, but edited to cut down on the filler bullshit on the whole episodes dedicated to grunting. And man, like, yeah, that shit, that shit's pretty hard to sit through sometimes, just in terms of how long they stretch things out. And it was a little weird going back, and it definitely, I feel like the Frieza Saga stuff was the most repeated stuff on the network. Like,
Toonami. That's I seem to remember the Saiyan Saga coming up a hell of a lot, but
yeah. I don't know, like, because I always seem to just kind of forget, like, the especially the earliest stuff with Raditz.
And, yeah, sure.
Raditz and even like the Vegeta stuff before he even gets in the fight, before he comes to Earth, like, I don't remember any of that, really.
Well, there's, or like, an episode of that, to be fair.
Ah, okay, well. And Vegeta's, like, weird imbalance of power where he can blow up a planet with one shot earlier, but then later on he does not have that power at all.
Yeah, sure, because it was a filler episode, so it was just like, eh, whatever.
It's inconsistent, yeah.
To be fair, that episode also has Vegeta and Nappa eating the aliens that they kill, like, as far as the show episode. Is dark, I'm gonna stack that one up. I did see the Frieza stuff, and I'm more familiar with that, but Raditz especially, I do not remember, and yeah. I'm excited to see it, and I'm especially excited to see it because continuing a sort of trend is that we managed to find the Toonami broadcast of this show. So we're going to be watching the ultra censored, like, ocean dub basically for this set of episodes.
Yeah, the first, like, set of episodes that are in Toonami had the ocean dub before the Funimation one. It's fine. Goku's voice is a little different though. Like, you notice it. Like, Tree of Might, like, some of the movies they aired, the voices were a little different. But they both do a serviceable job as far as I can recall.
Right, yeah. And one of the weirder wrinkles of this specific set of stuff is that they cut Tree of Might up and just stuck it in the middle of these episodes as though they were just episodes of the TV show, even though it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. I'm excited to see how that works.
Yeah, that's like, that's really weird. That's like cutting up Rogue One, but like shoving it in the middle of Empire Strikes Back.
I guess. I mean, it's like
that metaphor sucked.
Yeah, it's like putting Endless Waltz halfway through Gundam Wing. Like,
yeah.
Except even less related because the Dragon Ball Z movies don't really fit anywhere in the timeline at all.
Yeah,
like,
they don't. They're just weird outside.
Yeah. Oh boy. But yeah, let's get to Dragon Ball Z. Let's watch some Kamehamehas get thrown, some Destructo Discs slice mountains in half. A cat that talks and grows beans that make you strong.
Mr. Popo. That's all I gotta say about him.
God is an alien.
No, you know what I mean? You're skipping ahead.
Yeah. A little bit.
Oh, it depends, actually. Yeah. I mean, technically, whatever. I thought you were talking about Dragon Ball Super God. There's different gods.
Yeah, the God of Earth is an alien. And there's a dude who lives on an island with a turtle.
Who loves the pervy magazines.
Yep. Oh, God. Well, that stuff will probably get cut. Anyway.
Cut around, probably.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess let's pop that fucker in.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Dragon Ball Z will be back in a moment.
Hey, it's Michael here, taking a break to tell you about other ways you can help support the podcast. Subscribing on Blueberry, iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn, let us know that you're listening actively, and that's obviously a huge boost to us, because it's good to know that there are people out there who want to hear our stuff, and will continue to listen to it as we move forward into the future. Feel free to interact with us on our Twitter page, @HBPod, or Twitter page? Is that really even a thing? It's more of a Twitter account, isn't it? At any rate, you can find that @HBPod. We also have a Facebook page, which is reachable at facebook.com/HBpod. And I can say with some certainty that if you reach out to us on either of those platforms, we'll probably get back to you, because I guess I can't speak for Peter, but I don't have a lot going on. I'll probably say something. We post pretty regularly on both of those accounts, usually clips, screen caps, that sort of thing, sometimes with commentary. Well, in the sense that we sometimes comment on it. So if you're into that sort of thing, check it out. It's good fun. Our next episode will be up on April 26th, and we will be back for our thoughts on this block of Dragon Ball Z. God, I am really... Oh, man. Dragon Ball Z. I'm so happy we're finally doing this. It really sounds like it, I'm sure. Anyway, we'll be back to our thoughts on that in just a moment.
I know the odds are against me, but if there's a way to win, I'm gonna find it!
Dragon Ball Z now continues.
Alright, back from the break. Back from watching Dragon Ball Z for the first time since childhood, pretty much.
Yeah,
at least this
time.
Stuff.
For some of these episodes, it's been forever, especially for this kind of edit.
Yeah, or just never, yeah. Really. Like, yeah. there's at least one that I just didn't remember.
Yeah,
but
same.
Let's just get right into it. Let's get into the synopsis.
A pod hits the Earth after traveling through space. What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's super intense.
It's Raditz.
Yeah, it's really like... Also, I'm going to point out, the plot line of these 10 episodes, unlike, say, Robotech or your Gundam Wing style shows, can be explained in about 2 minutes. So I'm going to attempt to do that.
Especially since more than half of it is filler.
Yeah, exactly. So essentially what happens is this alien arrives on Earth. He has a tail. He's dressed in this kind of goofy-looking armor. It's Raditz.
Ripped dude with super long hair and a tail.
Yeah, and he kills a farmer. Well, he doesn't kill him, because the farmer's totally fine, because they dub in some dialogue after he's hit with a bullet. But he's like, whoa, that hurts.
And that was an awesome scene, too. You know, just to see as a kid, like, shoots a bullet. The farmer shoots him with a shotgun. He catches the slug in his finger and then just flicks it back at him and it kills him.
Yeah,
except,
right.
Of course, yeah, they, like you said, yeah, throwing dialogue. Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, he's not dead. Don't worry, kids.
Yeah, don't worry, kids.
he hasn't even been sent to another dimension, for example. but essentially, Raditz arrives on Earth. He goes and meets with Goku, who is our main character. And if you had seen Dragon Ball, you'd remember him as the primary character from Dragon Ball. But here, he's just a guy. And he has a son who has a tail. Goku himself doesn't have a tail. And he goes to visit some old friends of his, a bald, short man named Krillin.
I immediately pictured that as Roshi.
Yeah, a bald, bearded, sunglasses-wearing man named Roshi, who is shown drinking a water with some froth on the top.
Yeah, drinking a frosty mug of... very blue water.
Yeah,
they
right.
They just edited over blue coloring over
like
the
pretty poorly as well. It's
yeah.
And Bulma, the girl genius who has blue hair and is super mad at her boyfriend Yamcha, who we'll meet later. But essentially Raditz
Yamcha.
Arrives. He tells Goku the backstory of Goku, more or less, which is that he's actually from this race of aliens called Saiyans. Saiyans go around the galaxy killing the populations of planets to sell the planets to other people. And Goku is one of them. He was sent to Earth because apparently a Saiyan baby is strong enough to destroy Earth's entire population.
Now, to be fair, he was sent as a baby in a pod. I had figured maybe they would grow up a little bit in the pod and then come out as like a super kid.
Well, I think the idea is that Saiyans can transform into giant apes when they see the
true.
Full moon. So, like, just the giant ape would be sufficient
that's
to destroy
Earth. If the Saiyans have their tail still, and they see the full moon, you get out of the way. Because they turn into this giant ape monster that shoots lasers out of its mouth. And it's really
it's
ridiculous.
It's a real, like, classic kaiju, basically. But, So Raditz unloads all this info on Goku and also reveals that he's Goku's older brother. He then kidnaps Gohan, and Goku has to join forces with a character named Piccolo, who is a green guy, who... And that would be a dramatic turn if you'd seen Dragon Ball, but, you know, no one did, yeah. So it's just like, all right, I guess these guys are teaming up.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of, like, trash-talk each other a little bit, but... You don't really have the total villainy. Yeah, like, it kind of dodges the part of Piccolo where he's, you know, a villain.
Well, except that all the other characters flip out at the idea of them teaming up.
This is true, yeah. They're all pretty scared of Piccolo, clearly. It's just
like, why? Like, I guess he's a muscular green man.
Yeah, right. So
that's kind of scary.
Yeah, so Goku and Piccolo, they go fight Raditz. Goku grabs Raditz's tail, which is a Saiyan's weakness, and Raditz is totally overcome with pain, but he begs Goku to let him go, and then Goku does, because he's a nice guy at heart.
Yeah.
Raditz is like, haha, fooled you. And eventually Goku sort of puts him in a full Nelson, and then Piccolo shoots his special beam cannon and kills both of them.
Yeah. If you've never seen the show, characters shoot beams out of their hands. It's normal.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Whatever.
They shoot lasers.
There's only so much you can try and prep someone or just, like, how do you describe Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah. Fully? I mean, we kind of did in the beginning. It's dudes who are strong fighting each other and shooting lasers. Like, yeah. That's essentially it.
With some of the longest battles you've ever seen.
Yeah, unless I supposedly Naruto is similarly like long, 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 long battles.
Oh, really?
But I've never seen it, so
yeah,
who knows? At any rate, so after this happens, Goku's friends are really heartbroken, except that there are these magical orbs called Dragon Balls. There are seven of them. If you get them together, you can grant a wish. You can wish someone back to life. So.
And they've done
it
before.
They can wish Goku back to life. Yeah, despite that, Goku's death, or, you know, not death, I guess, is super sad. It's, like, played really sadly in a weird way.
Yeah,
which I guess, you know, even if you knew you could just resurrect someone, I guess you wouldn't be like, yeah, whatever. But it's kind of strange to me still.
Yeah, it's really odd. Just like, well, okay, you're not actually dead, but I guess I'm not going to see you for like a year, so see you
yeah,
later.
Yeah, and
now?
And then the final thing is that Raditz, as he's dying, is like, oh, there are two other Saiyans. Their home planet was destroyed,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I've already
transmitted your coordinates to them. They're on their way.
Yeah, and they'll be here in a year, and yeah. They're even more strong than I am, so you guys don't have a chance, basically. So... Due to this, and Gohan revealing some, like, superpower that only comes out when he gets angry, Piccolo kidnaps Gohan and just kind of throws him into the wilderness and is like, survive, kid.
Yeah.
And,
I'm training you now, kid.
Yeah.
I know you
and
don't
then...
have a choice in this, but now I'm training you. Now go live, I guess, in this forest.
Yeah, or desert, you know, depending on the episode, pretty much.
The most geographically varied place
you could
imagine.
So, Gohan is being trained, quote-unquote, by Piccolo, by being abandoned in the wilderness.
Cue all the filler, because there's so many episodes of Gohan just wandering around doing stupid shit. There's one, Gohan runs into a brontosaurus and befriends it, and then... It gets killed by a T-Rex and Gohan's sad.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it.
Or you have, like... I mean, the other, I guess, plot-relevant thing that happens is that the Guardian of Earth kind of brokers for Goku to go train with this dude named King Kai. He has to run down this long, long path called Snake Road in the afterlife to get to King Kai for training.
The afterlife in this universe is very weird.
Yeah, it's essentially bureaucracy afterlife.
Up in like it's all in these orange cloud landscape, basically. And like,
yeah, and
you just go to these buildings and get sorted out by this giant who either throws you into hell, which is like a weird park. where you're tormented by these hell, ogres.
Or rather, the Home for Infinite Losers, which is what it's renamed the in ultimate, this dub.
Yeah, the ultimate edit in this dub is changing hell, and like the ogres wear jerseys that say hell on them in big letters. Of course, the way, how do you edit around that? You remove some of the blocks in the letters to make it say Hifl, H-F-I-L.
Yeah.
So, and then you call it Home for Infinite Losers. That really wonder, is... Like, I grew up with Home for Infinite Losers, so sometimes I don't realize how absurd that is, but that's fucking insane. That is a great name.
And, well, and also, oh, they're clearly demons, but they're called ogres. Hell, yeah, I mean, or like the Home for Infinite Losers is not really that bad a place, it seems. Like, there's spirits, you know, rowboating through a lake of blood together romantically, and they have, like, a backpacking trip at one point.
A theme park.
Yeah, there's a theme park with roller coasters. It doesn't seem that bad,
really weird.
But the other thing is that the Guardian of Earth, or God, basically, who is an alien like Piccolo... he decides to train the other Z fighters, who are a collection of characters that are holdovers from Dragon Ball, like Yamcha, a human dude who kind of sucks.
Plays baseball now, but used
to fight. Tien, a Triclops dude who kind of sucks.
I fucking loved Tien as a kid, though. He was my favorite, just design-wise.
There's Krillin, the short bald guy who kind of sucks.
Yeah, there's Chiaotzu, who's puppet
a character
doll
that kind of looks like a doll. He kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And then you've got Yajirobe, who's the coolest because he has a sword.
The vulgar...
And he's kind of fat.
Yeah, the vulgar, overweight swordsman Yajirobe, who doesn't really fight and just complains a lot in this voice, dude. Or like, that wasn't a very good Yajirobe, but like he does... He sounds just like... Musclehead or Muscle Man from regular show, like
yeah
a lot. It's
pretty much
depending on the dub, though, they can kind of change, but they're very like almost surfer bro, but like fat and obnoxious. I say this as a fat man myself. I could pull Yajirobe myself, so you know, hey, I'm just, you know, throwing that out there. I'm not dissing on the fat people. I'm
saying this as a fat and obnoxious
team.
Man myself.
Yeah, well,
it's a term of endearment.
Yeah. Exactly.
Boy. Yeah, but really, that's it. As far as the plot relevant stuff, that's pretty much it for these 10 episodes, which was real change of pace.
Yeah, wow.
Because I'm used to sitting here just listing off, you know, oh, and then Dana becomes this, I don't know, you know, spitballing
off of nothing
like an idiot.
And then they get the
infant
flower of life, and they have to go do this, and the triumvirate.
Yeah, and plot garbage is poorly explained in, like, 5 seconds, but it takes 10 hours to unpack because it's so nonsensical.
Which, that much is refreshing, but
it is.
I guess.
It's brisk. It's a briskly
totally
paced show.
I enjoy watching this block, though.
Some
of the nostalgic aspects, but some of the episodes were just flat out boring.
Oh, absolutely. But before we talk about that, let's talk about some of our favorite episodes, because there's one in particular that I really want to talk about, because it's crazy. Which, you know, they have all these episodes where it's filler completely. For example, there's one where Piccolo splits in half and then fights himself.
It's training,
Yeah, cool, but also I don't recall him ever using that technique or ever using it again, so, you know, that it's filler, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just something that they needed to put in because Toriyama was writing the manga, and it's like, which is a weird process to me, frankly.
Yeah, they have to stall on making advancements in the plot because the manga's not finished.
Right. Well, it seems like a weird thing to say, oh, let's... Yeah, but not really, because they just kept the show.
They don't really do that. They like, went ahead.
Yeah, basically. But it is a really strange idea to say, all right, let's make this into a TV show. Oh, you're not even close to finished with the series? Eh, we'll just throw in some garbage about Gohan making friends with the Brontosaurus.
Yeah, right.
Or a Brachiosaurus, I guess. Brontosaurus didn't actually exist.
I don't think... oh, yeah. Or Apatosaurus? Isn't that what it became?
basically was two different. Diplodocus and Brachiosaurus.
I just thought
I can't really remember. So you have episodes like that, which are just boring and stupid, not a place, and they don't need to exist.
Yeah.
And then you have episodes like episode 10, which is boring and stupid, and doesn't need to exist, but it's also crazy.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy episode.
In episode 10, essentially Gohan escapes from the desert where Piccolo has abandoned him for training, and he tries to get home, and to do this he builds basically a sailboat that goes on sand, and then he builds a raft like Tom Hanks in Castaway get over this ocean.
Or like the kid from Life of Pi, because there's like a tiger trying to get on there too.
Though he doesn't build a raft. I think there's a shipwreck involved in that. I don't really know. I didn't see that movie. But so the raft gets wrecked out in sea. There's this big storm. He washes up on shore and gets found by these two orphan kids named Rom and Chico.
Yeah.
And then they introduce him to their orphan society, which it formed in the aftermath of this tidal wave.
Yeah, that apparently destroyed their city. Except that there are also adults that come by on cars trying to take them away to the orphanage.
Apparently, but of course, that's not really revealed until you have one adult who's this woman who essentially has the voice of a female Foghorn Leghorn.
Her voice is insane. There's like no placing that accent. It's like, I want to help you kids.
It's a total, like, totally exaggerated Southern accent. I mean, it's, you know, it's not...
I guess.
No, that's what it is. It's female Foghorn Leghorn, I'm telling you.
I say,
you kids need to... that's not Foghorn Leghorn, no. That's terrible. anyway, she... these kids are trying to not be adopted, I guess, or taken to the orphanage. And you have some real gems of lines. For example, we're orphans too, and we've only got one rule. No matter how hard it gets, never cry. And say whatever's on your mind, Gohan. Chico and I speak freely around here. Which is such a weird thing to see a six-year-old kid say.
Yeah.
Six-year-old
kid, yeah. Like, speak freely. Like, you're a six-year-old, yeah. Like, who speaks freely than children?
Yeah, you're not a sergeant in the armed forces.
Yeah, permission to speak freely, sir.
So that's really funny. But then the other thing that's funny about this episode is that you've got their kind of hero, I guess, who's an older kid named Pidgeotto.
Yeah, God. And he looks just like Yamcha.
Yeah, pretty much. Yamcha without the scars and a different haircut. And also a name that's about two letters off from Piccolo.
Yeah.
So, thanks. Like, we're back in Tenshi Muyo Ryo Ryo Oki Ryo O Ryo O's Ki Ryoko garbage. and, you know... It's hilarious because they're trying to fight off these people who are taking them to the orphanage, and then eventually Yamcha guy abandons them with Gohan and drives him more or less to his mom's house. And he just says, they're going to be better off at the orphanage. I had to abandon them. And then he just drives away.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Oh, don't forget, he says, you're one real bad dude.
Yeah. And it's a shame, because if Gohan could find another bad dude, they could go save Ronnie.
Yeah, they could actually save Ronnie
and have burgers.
Yeah. Ha, 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 ha.
Man.
That's what... not every copy of Bad Dudes ends with Ronald Reagan, so
no,
it's really kind of obscure to reference.
I believe
that
the Ronald Reagan stuff was in the arcade cabinet, yeah. Not the Nintendo port, which is garbage. Let's not forget the cops come in.
The cops come in and go like the cops come in right after the orphanage people fail to save them, and they all just start fighting the cops.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Apparently this episode wasn't aired on the absolute original 1998 to 1999 run, but it was aired
later on. No, you're incorrect. It wasn't aired in the original syndication run, which was not like when it was aired on Toonami for the first time, they aired that episode.
Wait, it aired somewhere else, not in Toonami?
Yeah, it aired in syndication.
Where?
I don't know, on some American channel.
No, no, no.
Yes, it did.
You're incorrect. I don't think that's true at all. Are you
I can't wait to record the corrections part where I'm like, reiterate that you're wrong.
I can't wait till you record the corrections part where you fuck you. How about that? I really don't think that's
the case.
Yeah,
you got me, I guess. It definitely is.
Okay. I mean, I'm open to not getting
no,
that.
That's,
you want to make that
dub.
You want to redo the bet again?
Yeah, okay. So I guess we might as well mention it now that we forgot to do it. We forgot to make a bet in our pre-watch stuff. So
and Doak was
we made
like,
one watching the first episode.
Doak was like, first episode, he's like, you know what? I want to bet on how many times they say Kakarot in this whole block. I bet
they're only Kakarot, by the way, is Goku's Saiyan name.
Yeah, so Raditz only refers to Goku as Kakarot, and so does Vegeta later on. And Goku never goes by it, obviously. But and Doak was like, 10 times. And then I think we changed it to 15.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty quickly after, and I was like, okay, but that's the final bet. That's it. We cut it off there. And in one episode, they say it 12. The first like episode with Raditz, they says it 12 times.
Yeah, because
and so it's just like, oh, you're fucked. You made a bad decision, yeah. And I like took the under bet or the over bet, obviously.
Yeah, of course. So we redid the bet, which is that
I gave Doak a mercy. I let him go for it.
Yeah, which the new bet was Dust Clears, which is a classic Dragon Ball Z thing,
yep,
where a character shoots an energy blast at another character and it blows up and there's this big cloud of dust.
And it's
usually
like, oh,
the
gone.
Characters, yeah.
The implication
oh, I got
is,
him.
Oh, yeah, I blew him up. I got him. And they're like cheering or something.
And then
the dust clears and they're still there and they're hardly hurt at all. And they go, oh,
yeah.
No. And they all freak
yeah,
out.
Yeah, usually just not hurt whatsoever.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
They say something like, oh, that felt like a fly landed on me.
Yeah,
like some bullshit like that.
And that happens probably like 800 times in all of Dragon Ball Z based on my memory as a kid.
Yeah.
It happens
you've
so
seen...
much.
And if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, it happens in Guardians of the Galaxy near
oh,
the
is
end.
It really?
Yeah, and when that happened, I actually laughed in the theater. So I was like, that's Dragon Ball Z right there, exactly. Right down to the character being like, we got him!
Yeah, yeah. So, and we agreed on, what, four, for, or what, five? Over, under, on five, and I took
under. No.
Wait.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I took under and you took over. And we just got to four.
Yeah, so.
Which is still kind of ridiculous that they had four dust clears in that whole.
In 10 episodes.
In 10 episodes.
Which maybe
of which there
wasn't
four fighting.
Were fighting.
Yeah, there was like fighting in like four episodes. Like DBZ.
Oh, another fun, weird little thing that happened in this block was that there's an episode with Vegeta and Nappa, who are the other two Saiyans that are way more powerful.
Yeah.
And
Nappa, this gigantic, bald dude. And
with a mustache.
Vegeta, this very short, but spiky-haired dude.
Yeah, or seemingly short compared to Nappa, but eventually he just kind of becomes about as tall as
yeah,
everyone
it
else.
Seems like he starts shorter, even in like when he compared to Goku, he starts shorter,
yeah.
And then he just eventually becomes as tall as Goku because I don't
yeah,
know he became
for some
a main
reason.
Character.
Yeah.
Spoiler
oh man, Peter, come on.
Oh, no, you became
a villain. I'm gonna bleep that out like Kill Bill. Yeah, that's a dumb reference. Anyway, so it's funny to see them because A. They're colored improperly, which was a big problem with Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z was characters just being colored, I guess, on the whim of the animators and it not being how Toriyama wanted the characters colored. I guess the most classic example is that Bulma has blue hair in the anime when she has purple hair in the manga, technically.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So in these episodes, you've got Vegeta in... if you're familiar with Vegeta, this is going to sound super crazy... in lime green armor with brown hair and
with,
it just
like,
looks
brown,
really strange
hair. Yeah
yeah So there's an episode with him and Nappa basically just destroying this society of weird bug men, which is only really worth mentioning because I think it might be the point where my terrible downer ending enjoyment started.
Yeah, the whole episode is like, they're like, you know what, let's toy with these bug men and let them capture us. And then they basically break free and prove their strength and kill the king. And they like go to jail first and they like meet this other dude.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, well, my wife, the king stole my wife and sent me to jail.
Yeah, and the king's evil, you know, it's that kind of thing. He's having pit fights go on. He's, you know.
So they kill the king and like the jailed bug man gets to reunite with his wife, who's all sad, and they're like, oh,
and the king
God.
Releases his rancor, which is just a giant bug man.
Yeah, which they kill easily because of course.
Yeah.
And they're like, you guys are heroes, you saved the day, great job, as they like fly up into space, and then they like Vegeta and Nappa are way up in space and they're just like, blow up the planet.
Yeah, so Vegeta blows it up with one move, which is the kind of thing that later in the series will be of inconceivable power, but not right now.
Yeah, for some reason right now we can blow up planets, but later on no one can until like
except
maybe
Frieza.
Frieza can do it as a final desperation move.
Yeah. But he blows up the planet and it's so awesome because you have this wife and husband reuniting after
running
however
and hugging
long
and about
whatever
to, like, contact.
Yeah. And then they just blow up.
Yeah. And it's just like, yep, this is what happened. This is where Doak was just like, oh, that's so great. I love death. Yeah.
That's where more accurately, I love being sent into another dimension, because after they blow the planet up, Nappa just turns to Vegeta and says, you sure sent that planet into another dimension, like,
which is apparent, which became a common, because they didn't like they say death and refer to
occasionally,
death and killing sometimes, but I assume the censors didn't like it, because a lot of the times it is edited and changed into being like referring to sending it to another dimension,
right,
instead of killing it. So
like,
yeah, blowing up the whole planet would be sad. So yeah, you sure did send that planet to another dimension, huh, Vegeta?
Yeah. Like, for example, Krillin is lamenting about how to tell Chi-Chi, Goku's wife, that he's dead, but instead he's like, how do I tell her that he's trapped in another dimension? Which, to be fair, I guess is a little easier than the abstract concept of the afterlife for kids, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess another dimension's pretty abstract too, so who knows?
Less religious.
Yeah. But I guess let's talk about our impressions on this block.
Sure. Let me start. I don't know. I liked the bits with Raditz a little bit. Yeah. I think Raditz looks silly. I like the main plot stuff, and I thought the filler was terrible, which, you know, is probably a standard opinion in a lot of shonen anime. But I remember as a kid looking back on like the interstitial episode or the episodes in between like the major sagas where like just nothing's happening and they dick around and do something, or they have to like adjust to casual life without a giant monster enemy. And I remember looking back those as a kid and being like, oh, these are great. Like, something about them, like just these peaceful episodes where you don't worry about anything. And there are some ridiculous examples of those, which I can't wait to get to. Like,
oh, yeah, for
Goku and Piccolo having to learn how to drive for some fucking reason, even though they can fly.
That is the best episode of Dragon Ball Z, hands down.
But this is full of just like filler episodes of Gohan being on his own, meeting stupid animals and running away and getting her. And it's just like, Goku getting into dumb hijinks in heaven, which like that, or, you know, in the afterlife, which is kind of funny, but it just gets boring. And I just want Vegeta and Nappa to show up, because not only are they the more memorable characters from my childhood, but they're also just kind of funnier. Like the way they just talk shit, the way the characters talk shit to each other in this show and in this dub particularly is really funny. Not intentionally, but very just like they're making the most badass sounding quips to each other back and forth.
Well, it's like a kid like smashing two action figures together and saying cool things.
Yeah.
That's basically what the show is.
Well, it's like, or like, I also forgot to mention that early on, Raditz like confronts Piccolo and beats him really quickly. And when he confronts Piccolo, Piccolo's already like the gruff, like tough sounding guy who always says something badass. And of course Raditz is evil, so they're just quipping off at each other. and Piccolo tells him to beat off.
Right.
Instead of beat it. Like he's trying to tell him to go away, but he tells him to beat off.
It's that's like an unintentional. It is really, though, that kind of dialogue is great.
That's the stuff
macho
I really like.
Toughness stuff is really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I don't think it's really intended to be honest. But
no, I don't think it is at all. It's just, it's like going back to the 90s and seeing what people thought was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, sure. And it's like violence and
talking
tough.
It's like
watching
a yo-yo video.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I have pretty much the same perspective on this stuff. I kind of like the filler, just in that more so than the main plot, it is weird and kind of humorous stuff for the most part, I'd say. I still think that the main plot, especially the Raditz stuff, is pretty intense, quote-unquote, you know? It's not like I'm really, like, shattered by it emotionally, but still, you got people dying and the threat of destruction and... there's not a whole lot of levity to it.
Threat of dimensional transfer.
Right. But,
how inconvenient. They just, instead of being killers, they just annoyingly transfer planets to other dimensions.
Yeah,
minor inconvenience for the planet.
Here's a joke about Dragon Ball Super. What if they got transferred into Champa's dimension? Or originally
Shut
were
up.
In Champa's dimension
no
and got
one,
transferred
no one...
to Beerus's dimension, and that's why Champa's Earth has no people on it.
Yeah, dude.
Terrible? Yep. Fan theory.
Yeah, for all those people who both watch Dragon Ball Super and listen to this podcast, they're fucking going nuts right now on that fairly basic reference.
If you listen to this podcast and you have any interest in Dragon Ball but don't watch Dragon Ball Super, watch it.
It's quite good.
That's my recommendation.
It's quite good if you're not like hyper hardcore about the series and you wouldn't get super upset if they did dumb stuff now and then.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the stuff that I enjoy most about it. And the filler episodes tend to lean into that more, but these ones were pretty damn boring.
Yeah.
The Princess Snake episode was really strange also.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, maybe the less said about that, the better. It's just this snake woman who kind of tries to seduce Goku, and then when she finds out he has a wife and kid... she just turns into a gigantic snake and tries to eat him.
She's like, I don't want him if he has a wife and kid. I'll just eat him. They all just like gain evil eyes that don't match the art style at all.
Yeah, yeah. Her and all of her other cute
attendants,
other just blue-skinned attendants, are essentially pulled from Dusk Till Dawn and transform into vampire characters. Yeah,
why does
not
that
great.
Happen? Yeah, like it's totally random. It serves nothing to the main plot at all.
Well,
it's
and
just,
here's the thing
Goku
too. That's
happens
interesting.
To stop by this place on Snake Road because he's trying to run past this incredibly long, like year long run of a road through the heavens to get to King Kai's
to
plan
get to
train.
King Kai to train. Well, here's the thing though that I find kind of interesting about this actually, because I was thinking about this. What if Snake Road and Gohan being abandoned into the wilderness? What if those were written into the manga as points of you can easily write in filler here? Because from my recollection on Snake Road, Goku just runs down it and gets to King Kai. And it's implied to take a while, but nothing eventful really happens.
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, it just leaves open ground to insert a bunch of dumb filler stories.
Exactly. And more or less the same with Gohan, aside from transforming into the giant ape and Piccolo blowing up the moon again. It doesn't really, you know, it's just he transforms into the ape and then it's him, you know, cutting off the dinosaur's tail that the dinosaur that was terrorizing him earlier to eat. It's like very, you know, I guess succinct in a way that the show is not, unsurprisingly.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it was designed like that intentionally.
Yeah, maybe. Because I never read the original manga, but...
Right.
It does make sense.
Yeah, well, especially this period seems like something that's almost intentional. Oh, this can be filler city before we get into, you know, a big plot arc.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I would enjoy filler more when it's when there is a bigger looming threat of, like, right, when the villain's right. actually there. Like, in Frieza Saga, like, they're on Namek, they have dumb filler stories going on in the background while there's still big fights with Frieza and Ginyu Force and stuff like that that
yeah,
are going
I don't
on
know
or
if,
impending.
I don't know if that's going to be any more enjoyable, given that's that most of it's just Bulma goofing around.
That's what I'm thinking.
Like, oh,
it,
man.
It could be.
Well, I guess we'll see when we get to that, but essentially, this block was eh.
It's all right.
Well, let's make a bet for
let's make a
next
blet,
block.
Yeah.
Let's make a blet for next block. And we'll have a Shiner Bock beer. Yep. Mm, okay. Good ones. Anyway.
What do we do?
Yeah.
You had a couple ideas, right?
I did, and now they escape me.
Yeah, they escaped me too. Yeah, because I had a. Fuck. Like, just do dust clears again. Just do dust clears until you win.
Just dust clears constantly. That would actually be kind of funny.
Oh, I also forgot to mention real quick that... Because I was thinking, what if we did the bet where how many times does Chi-Chi say the same stupid line? Because
oh, right.
she
no,
says
don't.
She says the exact line, all this worrying is going to give me wrinkles, like twice in two episodes in a row.
Yeah.
She says it. It's like, why?
So they just didn't have any idea how to write Chi-Chi except for Gohan better study and mom, I guess.
I'm an aging woman. My wrinkles.
Yeah. Okay, I have a good bet, I think. All right, so number of times Krillin throws a Destructo disc and it doesn't hit anybody. It's dodged.
Has he even thrown one yet?
No, but I am positive that he throws one or two while fighting Vegeta.
My problem with
that
bet
stuff
is that
should
it's
come
way
up
too
pretty
low.
Soon.
Like, two is like, I wouldn't bet, like, I'd be like over under one.
Hmm. But
we could do
I think
over
that
under
the
one.
Ones that, hmm. Because the, okay. You know what? I'm gonna say over. I'm gonna say two or more.
Okay, I'll go under. Wait, two?
No,
yeah,
I'm,
yeah, okay.
Over under
one
seems
under
good for me.
Zero?
Well, one.
One
or
zero,
I guess. I mean, zero is totally possible.
So at or under?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. If wait, now hang on a sec. Think this one through.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I don't think that's likely.
He definitely throws a Destructo disc while fighting Vegeta. At least one.
I guess you're right. He could easily throw two.
And this arc is going to be over at episode 25 or 26. I think 26. So a decent amount of the Vegeta fight will happen here.
It's true. Okay.
I think over under one is decent.
And Nappa. If you could
right,
throw one
right.
for both of them.
Exactly. All right. So all right. Destructo discs thrown and dodged over under one.
Yeah. Does not hit any part of them. Can we agree? Or I mean, like,
if
it grazes them, fine. But if it, like, cuts off
yeah,
the tail.
Yeah, no, that doesn't count, obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
But if it cuts a little slit in Vegeta's cheek and then
if
he's
it's
like,
ineffective
ugh.
Or
yeah.
misses entirely.
Bonus points if it cuts a mountain. In half.
Of course.
In the background.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll have to do scenery destruction later.
That's Namek good is good for scenery destruction.
Oh, yeah, it is. All right.
Oh, man. I love this show. Kind of. Rewatching
kind.
It, I'm sort of like, it's okay.
It's
I guess.
All right. It's taking me away from my Persona 5 time, so I just get cranky. That's probably why. I need to go back to obsessively playing video games.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Just never produce another episode of this.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, let's sign off, I guess. that's how we do things around here.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Hyperspace Broadcast. Next week, we're going to be checking out Dragon Ball Z episodes 11 through 20.
Of
as
the original
always,
run, which can be very confusing, actually, because it's...
But, the original Toonami run.
The original Toonami edited run started with, like, Saban and stuff, because it's different from the uncut Funimation run. It's different from the original Japanese run. It's just kind of hard to tell as far as episode lists, but you have to look it up.
It is a strangely hard episode listing to find.
It is. And
which is irritating. And they cut episodes because, you know, the original had
specific references. I think that Orphan episode was like 1 to 3 episodes. Not the whole Orphan plot, but like the ship plot and then the Orphan plot and stuff like that. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know for sure. So
I guess that's possible. But the point is, you know, they cut episodes that refer back to Dragon Ball primarily because, you know, that hadn't aired. It's weird, people. It's weird. Anyway, I'm Muckledoke. I'll go with that. I'm Muckledoke.
I'm Puckle Ebe.
And this is Hyperspace Broadcast. Be sure to revisit us next week as we continue Dragon Ball Z. And that's a good thing to sign off on, right? That works.
Yeah, Hyper Puckle Space Puckle.
Corrections. Dragon Ball Z ran in syndication starting September 1996 before being canceled in 1998. It was then rerun on Toonami in August 1998. I was correct with that argument. We've been a little confused with our breakdown of the various dubs. The episodes we're watching now are those dubbed by the Ocean Group, which we're calling the Ocean Dub or Saban Dub. Later, Funimation formed their own in-house studio and created their own dub, which we've been referring to as the Funimation Dub. Bumpers were taken from the video Toonami Dragon Ball Z Complete Bumper Collection, 1999 through 2000, uploaded by RetroCCN, and the music you're listening to right now is Vapor Diving by Onatech off the album Onatech Instrumentals Volume 6. Find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo.